So you make a ministry approach to try to go after community living. That's not what the text says they were devoted to. It was an overflow of who they were, but let's go back to what they were devoted to that's really shaping who they were. That's kind of a paradigm shift for us.
Hey Veritas, this is Sam Anderson and Jake Each, and you are listening to Beyond the Message podcast. Jake, how you doing?
Doing well.
I was about to say, how are you doing this morning? But we are not. Actually, for one time, this is a little later recording.
This is afternoon. Yeah, and I got my pick-me-up juice and trying to wake up here a little bit.
It looks like you're just drinking a chilled glass of milk.
It's Celsius. What do they call those?
Celsius?
Yeah.
With what else do you have?
There's an orange Celsius with a splash of cream in there.
It's like a little creamsicle.
Creamsicle.
Okay.
With caffeine.
So you are not a fan of coffee.
No.
All right, with an energy drink and a little bit of a little bit of cream.
That'll work.
Okay. All right. There you go. Yeah. Now you know Jake's preferences on what he wants.
Well, hey, we can go out for coffee. I'll just get something different.
That's fair.
Not a coffee fan.
That's fair.
Which seems very.
What's your prejudice against coffee?
I just don't like the taste. I don't like coffee ice cream. I don't. And people always say like, give it longer. Like, I don't want to work at liking something. I either like it or I don't like it. I don't like it. So,
go with what you know, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Jake, yeah. So we're, not in an in-between series. It's just a little bit more of a condensed series. We're getting ready to jump into Daniel in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah.
And, a sweet time. I mean, even just thinking about this, there might be a lot of people in our church context that don't really come from a church background where there is like an intentional focus on the school year.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that a little bit different for us where our ministry year does follow a school year calendar?
Well, we – part of our college ministry, some of our students are away during the summer, but also we have a lot of families.
Yeah.
With kids in school, summer's a little bit more of a hit and miss time in our culture, with our families going on vacation stuff. So we try to do, there's no off season of church, but, summer can tend to be a little bit different approach at times. And we see the school year as things getting ramped back up with our ministries and, doing some, focus book studies.
Yeah,
school year. So
yeah, and it's not just based on students, right? Like we just had our connection group leader kickoff this past Saturday. Salt Company had their kickoff last night. Student ministry will have their kickoff on Wednesday, and then next Sunday, all of the kids ministry classes they move up.
Yeah.
So it is kind of this like there's a lot of momentum and energy, and we're in not a season of change and transition.
But yeah, there's rhythms in life, and
it's kind of a good hey, here we go, we're in fall, like let's step it up. So
let's go. I'm ready to hit. Sweet. Let's get this fall going.
It was
and the weather.
It, that was
Do you remember last year at the Salt kickoff? You're like sweating just standing there.
It's so
I was
humid.
Cold.
The ground was super wet.
I
had to borrow Brian Gradiville's windbreaker last night.
I
was like, hey, Dad, can I have your jacket?
No, but this is like campfire weather. I loved this.
Yeah, it was great. It was sweet. So we're in this kind of capitalizing on this kickoff time. And it was sweet yesterday. I feel like – do you remember when did we first like – was it early spring where as like pastors and directors and some staff, we started talking through even like our adult ministry team, we started talking through some of these upcoming changes and
– yeah, and even probably and
elders,
6 months before that. It was just kind of having some evaluations and asking good questions and looking in the mirror in our church and so much to be thankful for and so many things we felt good about. But we were looking at where is God calling us to put focus and improvement. And really, it stirred from the text more than the evaluations.
Right. Like something just has to change. We're doing like it's not
– Yeah.
It's not like there was like this is wrong. We need – like there's a massive problem. It's like, hey, there's a couple things have come to a head. But also like we can go to God's word and we can identify some places where it's like, all right, where are we off
in
that? So how did – I mean obviously just looking at the first church and assessing what's the priority there.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty easy place to return to. But when did you guys like land on that? Like, hey, there is something here with like the article of the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, the fellowship,
right,
the prayers.
Well, I mean, it's a classic text to look at when you're trying to see the potential and priorities of a church. And I think a lot of times what gets highlighted in that text is the wonderful community that they had.
Yeah. Result, right?
Exactly. The result. And you want the result. So it's like, look at their generosity, look at their community living. So you make a ministry approach to try to go after community living, which is a good and godly biblical thing. But to feel like, well, that's not what the text says they were devoted to. Mm-hmm. It was an overflow of who they were, but let's go back to what they were devoted to that's really shaping who they were. That's kind of a paradigm shift for us.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, that's sweet. All right. We're kind of jumping ahead of ourselves here, which is all right. But this is a little bit different than usual.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure you could have gone a bunch of different places, but I think maybe as just like reflecting on yesterday, if you're like, all right, if we would have had more time to flesh out some of this,
sure,
what would that have looked
like? If we had more time. I feel like I need to apologize to the 8 a.m. nursery worker and kids workers because we already went beyond the message. And I think I went a little long in the 8.
Whoops.
But I think going into all of those, it was an overview of those specific, you know, the apostles' teaching,
yeah,
the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers. I mean, it'd been great to unpack each one of those. Specifically, I think in our culture, trying to understand church membership, and we've done messages on the past, but it's just a bit of a – you get resistance. Like, why? Why do I need, yeah, to do that? So maybe spending more time on the value of that. But I'm pretty sure on our website that message still exists,
yep,
on why we believe in church membership, yep, and biblically so, even though the word membership is not in the New Testament at all. So spend more time on that. But I went beyond the message on Sunday too.
Well, maybe to do that, we'll go into kind of question two here. So just in looking at Acts 2 and then also, you know, we jumped to Acts 6 to kind of see, yeah, a reiteration and further expansion of that. We see this like those four things, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers. Why, like, as obviously the Holy Spirit is guiding, mm-hmm, Luke in writing this, why are those the four things that – the four categories of devotion that get drawn out? And maybe a part two to that, it seems like the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and the prayers, like those fit together. And then it's like this like tag-along little brother that's like – and the fellowship – is that just because our cultural moment is so individualistic and that like belonging of church family and faith like connection feels like it's this kind of like unnecessary but obligatory thing?
Maybe. I think a critique that I would have of the church in the last 50 years, especially maybe – coming out of a seeker-sensitive movement, is community has been elevated as the highest virtue, sure, in church world. Like, yeah, just community belonging was kind of the apex of what church was trying to do. And the teaching context took a backseat. Hmm. Prayer took a really backseat.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, prayer is something you should do on your own. But the prayers as corporate prayer services for the church largely went away. Mm. So churches didn't get – I mean, used to have – you go back 50, 70 years, churches had midweek prayer services weekly. You had Sunday school where you were another teaching context and it gave way to more community, yeah, groups and friendships. And those have value. I'm not saying they don't have value. Communities, huge. It's just that the priority of we want to help you know your Bible and we're going to pray, I think have lost a front and center focus in the church.
Do you think some of that might be connected to like the kind of charismatic resurgence where like prayer has gotten taken over into this like very experiential and like big kind of showy? Because I do know that there are
– Yeah, if you say we're going to have a prayer service, it might scare some people.
I was just talking to somebody recently and they were like, yeah, like I've been at this church and like got invited and it was like this prayer service was basically like – I mean it became – this very like showy healing kind of where I think in our culture it's easy for things to go. And so maybe if that like kind of the charismatic attachment to a prayer service and then in like Reformed theology, it might be like, we're not going to be about that. So
right.
Was that some of the,
it could, I mean, depending on people's experience, if you say, oh, we're going to have a prayer service and they're like, oh, that's going to get weird.
What does that mean? Like,
I don't even know what that means.
Right in,
But the clear call to prioritize prayer is something I think we need to get better at as a church. So I'm energized for that.
Yeah.
Personally, I know we kind of said, you know, we need to do a better job with biblical literacy. We need to do a better job praying together as a church. Excited about that. Personally, the shepherding adjustments that we've made where we're dividing up our members, so clear oversight to different pastors. And I love that because I can feel sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm wired to be a small town or small church pastor. And I'm in the emperor's clothes, or not emperor's clothes. The emperor didn't have clothes.
Yeah,
but I'm like in Saul's armor. Like this doesn't fit. But so to be able to look at like, okay, these 100 people, I can do that. Like that's energizing. And hopefully for our church as well to make a big church feel small and more like family.
Yeah, that's good. That's sweet. Let's shift gears. So you talked yesterday about priority drift and just like, I think that's just an interesting concept to talk about. I mean, even like collectively as a church, but also individually in faith, like as we are drawing near to the Lord, it might be easy in different seasons to feel as if like you get way off base on something or like even you put an overemphasis on the experiential and the healing or some sort of thing there. But what do you think are some practical ways that we as individuals and collectively as a church can guard against that priority drift,
right,
and then stay devoted to what matters most? And it's not like it's because what we could do is just jump off and say, all right, well, it's these four things and how we're specifically going to do that is these ministry initiatives.
Sure.
Because we've talked about it. It's like if we get a year down the road and we're like, all right, we need to make some changes. It's not to the conviction. It's to like, what are we doing with that?
Yeah. We can't come back a year from now. Like, I guess we're not going to prioritize prayer. We just got to figure out, like, maybe
and
how
if
do
we do, please stop us.
Please stop us.
Happens,
please intervene.
Something has gone wrong terribly.
Yeah. I think to guard against priority drift, whether it's a church or an individual, it's really important to have stated priorities, not assumed priorities. So if you have an assumed priority, it hasn't solidified. It's like, oh yeah, of course that's important. I think, what are my priorities? Okay, write them down, name them. Okay, and how am I going to guard them?
Yeah.
Because I think there's certain things that we just assume it's a priority. And when we assume it, it doesn't get lived out. Even if we would – those of us that are married, hopefully we would all say, hey, my marriage is a priority in my life. But then life happens and we go, okay, when's the last time you went on a date with your spouse? When's the last time you
prayed
for your spouse? You know, so it's like
– four. Yeah.
Yeah. So you might step back and be like, even though I say that's a priority, I don't know if I've been prioritizing that. So I think taking some time to state your priorities, you're going to be in a better position to guard them. Otherwise, just the next new opportunity creeps in and you do it and you don't ever assess, well, what's suffering? If I'm going to say yes to one more thing, despite what our world tells us, you can't do it all and have it all. Something's going to suffer. And eventually your priorities will start suffering because you choke them out with just so much on your plate. So define them and then guard them.
Yeah, I think that's good because it is, you said, not just have assumed. I think that it's easy if it's an assumed priority to judge yourself based on your intentions.
Oh, yeah.
And not like what's the practical reality. Like there can be a shifting goalpost of like, well, I meant to.
Right.
And it just kind of – but yeah, if we have stated priorities, we're able to hold ourselves and ask others to hold us accountable too and hold each other accountable. I think that's
for sure.
Super helpful. Sweet. Yeah. Great. That's all we got. I'm like looking down here. I'm like, did I write anything else? I don't have anything else. Jake, what I think – oh, one thing too I do want to mention. So just last night at the kickoff, Salt Company kickoff, Danny's voice was pretty shot. Uh-huh. And so he preached, did a great job preaching, just brought the gospel and
really
inviting
sweet.
Students into community and into, you know, pursuing the Lord if they aren't currently pursuing the Lord. But then also at staff huddle this morning has brought up Danny's also preaching on Thursday and he's preaching on Sunday.
Yeah, so he's got a little gauntlet
if you're
here.
Listening to this, please be praying for Danny's voice to recover this week and to be able to speak clearly on Thursday and Sunday, and excited to have him preach. And he's going to be here on Sunday talking about just what it looks like to be a next generation church.
I'm excited. I gave him that assignment a while ago. Just I think it's important for our church to hear from him in that. But too often you hear a church talk about we're passionate about the next generation, and then the other generations feel devalued. Mm. And really it's an every generation ambition that we should have. So we just had a teachers meeting today and kind of talked through some of that stuff and just prayerfully excited for that coming up this Sunday.
Yeah, that's sweet. Good deal. Well, Jake, thanks for being here. Thanks for preaching yesterday. Excited to jump into Daniel. Yesterday was great. Excited for Danny on Sunday and ready to get back into a book study. So we're starting Daniel. Is that the 7th? Is that September 7th?
Yeah,
first. Class is kicking off.
Yeah. And we have the ESPN journals.
So we ran out yesterday.
Which is great. This shows that our people – follow along. Take note. Yep. I love that.
Yep. Yeah. So Caroline's got some more on order already yesterday before she left church. So we'll have more on Sunday. So stop by and pick those up. And we're excited to jump in. But again, church, if you've got a question you want us to address on the podcast or whether it's related to Sunday or theological, sometimes we're not able to include everything here, but it does spur let's do a future equipping podcast episode on that or fit that in somewhere else. Submit those through the form, LinkedIn Digital Program, or in the church email. So I'm super thankful for opportunity to talk through those things. I was going to say your big idea. Did you have a big idea yesterday?
It was just a lot of medium-sized ideas.
A lot of medium-sized ideas. Well, I do pray that we would be devoted to those things that the first church was devoted to. I'm excited for this next ministry year to see this stuff play out and just the direction where it's not we're not just trying to do things to be attractive, but to care for people and convictionally follow where the Spirit's leading us as a church and to be intentional in that.
For sure.
Would we be devoted to the apostles' teaching, to the prayers, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread. And church, join us again next week for another episode of Beyond the Message.